moment. It's the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group's BillsWire. And today, this is the episode that everyone has been waiting for. It's the episode that Brandon Bean in particular has been waiting for. He's been in my DMs, in my emails. He's been saying, Kyle, I need my big board. Well, today we're going to get you the big board, Brandon. That's a joke, obviously. I don't want people to think like, oh, wow, Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean's got a burner account. What if Brandon Bean did have a burner?
That would be great. I think he'd have a great burner account, honestly.
That's what today's discussion is. Does Brandon Bean have a burner? No. But yeah, today we are going to look at all the free agents, all the potential free agents available in the offseason. And we're going to, you know, talk through each position group, look at potential guys we would like, and then at the end we'll rank them 1 to 10, who we want most to who we want least. Or we'll do it in reverse order so it's more suspenseful. But at the end, we'll have a 10-man big board of who the Bills should prioritize in free agency. And obviously, we're going to be going off our two last podcasts, our prior podcasts here, in which we looked at each position group and decided whether or not it was a position of need. And you're probably thinking, wow, you guys and the audience, you're probably thinking, I thought those were just like throwaway topics that you did because you had nothing else to talk about. They were. But now we're putting them to use by using them to help us make this big board. So it's going to be a wonderful podcast. This is the type of topic that, like, I don't know if it's going to take 20 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes. If we get to, like, the 50-minute mark, I'm going to be like, we got to speed it up. But
we're going to split this up.
We're probably going to have to end up splitting this up. But, yeah, we'll do this. We'll do another mock draft soon just because our last mock draft is entirely outdated. We got Patrick Queen, who is now often getting mocked before the Bills even go on the board in round one. We were getting him in round five. So, yeah. And we took Kennedy Brooks, who isn't even in the draft anymore. There's a lot of guys who, that mock is just entirely outdated. So we'll do one of those
fools.
Soon. We look like fools. We look like dumb boys. But now, as the off-season progresses here, I'm realizing that this podcast is kind of just transforming into our resume for potential NFL executive roles. Because every week we're just like, I would do this if I were a GM. It's a lot of fun, though. We have fun. Yeah. We have good times. So, yeah. I don't think I introduced you guys yet. So, joining me to make this wonderful big board first, it's returning after a one-week hiatus. It's McKenna Saturday Beers Middlebrook.
Yeah.
McKenna, how are you?
I am feeling great. Great to be back on the pod. Had a great night last night. My buddy got a new apartment in town, so all week I was helping him move in and stuff, and, you know, we finally got to celebrate a little bit.
They have apartments in Potsdam?
They do. It's actually nice, surprisingly. It's like it's a studio apartment, so it's pretty small, but
nice.
It's actually very nice.
I didn't think there was anything in Potsdam.
There's not much.
Well, there's an apartment at least.
There's at least.
He got the one apartment in town. Also here, it's Justin DeLauro. Dila, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning.
Yes, I want to preface that it is Sunday morning at 9:26 a.m. Do that all the time, to say the recording time. But I think it's important because, I mean, we're in the opening days of the NFL offseason here. The Bills are rumored to be in talks with Greg Olsen. They could sign Josh Norman. Who knows what's going to happen in these next few days in between today and when this podcast comes out on Tuesday morning. So just know if something big does happen and we don't talk about it on this podcast, it's because we recorded it on Sunday morning at 9:27 a.m. Maybe Greg Olsen will sign while we're doing this podcast, either here or somewhere. That's always something I've wanted to happen, is big news breaks while we're recording a podcast. And unfortunately, the biggest news that has broken while we were recording a podcast was McKenna and I were doing a podcast and Kobe Bryant died. So that wasn't the funnest thing to talk about mid-podcast, but...
Yeah, that was like at the very tail end, too, when we were both tired about talking about the Senior Bowl and it just...
Hey, maybe they'll sign Greg Olsen today. So I want to get to this podcast. Well, we're doing that right now. I want to get to this topic relatively quickly because, again, I don't know how long it's going to take. But also, there's other things I want to talk about. So, we'll do it anyway. So, McKenna, there's big news in the world of English football. So on this edition of Premier Rich, which I did not let Rich do in his farewell episode, I completely forgot about it. So, you're picking the mantle back up. McKenna, Premier Rich, what's going on?
So, as we all know, the Premier League has been on a little bit of a break. So there hasn't been a lot of action going on. But two days ago, it was news broke that UEFA has banned Manchester City from the Champions League for 2 years due to financial fair play. And essentially, what that means is that they're just shady. Like, they have money coming in all from all over the place that they necessarily shouldn't. So, it's not good. It looks very bad for them. A team that has the little, they're a plastic club, people like to call them, because they only have success due to money, and now the money looks like it might dry up for a little bit. So let's see what happens. It'll be interesting.
I don't have any issues with that. My opinion, just like, hey, if you're getting money, take the money. Is it like from illegal sources? Is that the issue here? Like it's dirty money?
I don't think that's a part of it. People say that they're sports washing, essentially, because they're owned by a Saudi oil company that have had, incidences in the past where they've done very illegal things. So now that company is using Manchester City to make themselves seem like, a very well-run company and that, like they're good people.
So what you're saying is that I probably shouldn't go to bat for this company publicly.
Don't do that.
I would like to state that I am very indifferent on this whole topic.
Financial fair play is really complicated, but I think it's not the fact that the money is illegal, the fact that I don't think City, they were recording it correctly, and they were saying they had more money than they actually had. Okay. So, yeah, it's not good, because I think you're only allowed in a certain amount of money each sort of transfer window, of each year, but it's not good for them.
So they were banned from the Champions League for 2 years. What about Europa League?
Probably banned from that, too, I'd assume.
So, like, is it, even if they finish, like, second?
Yeah, they won't have any European competition.
So would it just go to, like, the sixth or the seventh place team then? Or, like, does everything get pushed down one? Or is England just not going to have one of their spots filled?
I don't know yet. I don't think that, like, I think UEFA needs to decide that. But generally, I think the consensus is that it'll be the fifth place finisher. Because it'll be 1, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
And then if an English team can win the Europa League, so it could be, like, 1, 3, 4, 6, and 7 or something, depending on, how everything goes down. But
so what you're saying is this is far too complicated.
It's really complicated, and especially since it just broke, 2 days ago, there's still, like, we haven't really gotten all the fallout from it yet, but...
Right. I'm looking at the Premier League table right now. Premier League. Sheffield United are in fifth?
Yeah. It could actually make the Champions League next season. Yeah,
now they could make the Champions League. Well, with this whole Man City thing.
Yeah, if that's how it plays out, which it probably will.
They're ahead of Tottenham, Wolves. Wolves were supposed to be great this year. Arsenal's in 11th? Oh my.
Yeah, they're
bad.
You can tell
how long I've been disconnected. West Ham are in 18th.
That's relegation.
Yeah. That's not great.
Every team you support so far, they've been relegated. Or they might
get
relegated.
That happens to me all the damn time. I'll play FIFA, I'll find a League 2 team to be like, this is the team I am going to take and bring them to the Champions League glory, right? And then, like, I play with them. I get connected to them because I played 6 or 7 years with them on FIFA. And then, without doubt, they get relegated every year. So they're not in the next year's FIFA.
Oh, great.
And it's, like, I remember FIFA 14. Torquay United was their name. Or Torquay or something. I brought them Champions League. It was called like Champions Cup or something. Yeah. Because they didn't have UEFA licensing back then. But I signed Ronaldo eventually. I had Ibrahimovic's regen. My team was stacked. And then they got relegated and they have not been back since. They have not been in FIFA since. I remember, oh, dude, I have many stories from this. That was my junior year of high school. And so I was playing FIFA and I knew this team was about to get relegated and I wanted to save them. I wanted to do anything I can. So I made an email address called Green Ox Energy, an obvious ripoff of Red Bull. So I said that I was the owner of big company Green Ox Energy, and I wanted to buy their team. I wanted to buy Torquay United for £1. And they never got back to me. They never responded. Wow. I sent a follow-up, and I said, like, hey, this is, you know, you're not getting back to me. I'll even up my offer to £5. let's make this work. They never got back to me. And I remember telling my AP US history teacher about this plot, about this plan. And he's like, what are you going to do when they get back to you? Like, how are you going to pay the players? How are you going to, like, you know, pay for jerseys or anything? And I was just like, I didn't think about that. I'm just trying to make Green Ox Torquay over here. I'm just trying to, you know, trying to make the biggest soccer club in the world. Didn't work, though. Currently do not own a British soccer team, unfortunately. That's unfortunate. Hey, maybe eventually. Maybe eventually we'll get our hands on Port Vale.
Hey, speaking of Port Vale, they're on a 2-game winning streak at the moment. They won yesterday. They won 3-0 against Colchester.
Ooh, that's
and
a big one.
Yeah, the game before that, they had a 3-2 thriller. I don't know the team they beat because I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, our boys, Port Vale. They have a chance to get promoted. I think they're in the playoff position right now.
They beat Forest Green.
Oh, I like Forest Green.
They beat Forest Green and it looks like they were a man down as well. It looks like somebody got a red card.
They were. I was, as we all know, we're the biggest supporters of Port Vale in the United States, I think.
They've won 4 out of 5.
Ooh,
wow.
They're pulling it up, man.
What a great run of form.
But yeah. No. Oh, no. They're playing a team called Scunthorpe in 2 weeks.
There's a an old Ali G bit where he had Kate. That's not her name. It might be. I don't know. David Beckham. It's Victoria Beckham. He had David and Victoria Beckham on. I was thinking of the princess, Kate Middleton or whatever, who's not Victoria Beckham. Different people. But he had David Beckham and Victoria Beckham on. And so he was talking to David Beckham and he's like, so when you have the, you know, when you're a good soccer player and you play for a big team, that means you get to date a prettier Spice Girl. So you dating Victoria Beckham, does that mean that Sporty Spice would date somebody who played for Scunthorpe United? It was hilarious. Ali G was the best. Sacha Baron Cohen's just hilarious in general. So, we're 13 minutes in. I just do internal timestamps here. And before we get into this wonderful looking at the free agent topic, I want to quickly do an XFL follow-up because the second initial slate of second week NFL games are behind us, and now the novelty of it has worn off a little bit, and now it's just a football league that we watch every week. And I can officially say that I am jumping off board. Yeah, the football sucks, guys. The football is just awful. Last week, I think everyone was wearing rose-colored glasses and saying, like, oh, yeah, the football, it isn't bad. It's higher than any of us could have expected. This week, it was just like, okay, this isn't new anymore. I'm just sitting here on a Saturday afternoon watching two awful football teams play awful football in a half-empty stadium. Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? Why am I watching Brandon Silvers play football? Why am I watching Cardale Jones play football? I don't usually do this until August. But I think I'm jumping off. I'm not I can't be asked to watch bad football. I'll keep it on in the background, but also, I don't know. It's just, the irony of it isn't there anymore. Now it's just like, oh, this is just sad. D'Lo, how do you feel about the XFL now?
Same I did last week. It's background noise.
Okay.
That's all. Like, I wasn't looking at it too much. Like, some people thought it was going to be this league to revive, like, the careers of many of these players. Some players are going to show up, and they're going to do well, and things are going to, you know, work out for some of them, at least get some invites to camps in the summer. But for the most part, if people thought this was going to be a legitimate, like, competition for the NFL, it wasn't. I just look at it as, like, a JV league. You know, it's something nice for the springtime to put on and, you know, check out. I mean, I don't know. I just think a lot of people, their expectations were a little out of line when, you know, you said Brandon Silvers and Cardale Jones are, like, big name quarterbacks in the league. Like, Matt McGloin, I think, got benched yesterday.
That was great. We have to change the entire game plan, and they bench him.
Yeah. Both things, and then he got benched. So, I mean, right.
They had to change the game plan.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh.
Phones are going off.
We're getting texts right now about the XFL.
I'm like a cat. I get distracted. There's like a laser like on the a wall. Cat. Yeah.
Vince McMahon's asking us why we don't love the league.
That's true. Why are you talking about that? You're all fire.
That's a good Vince McMahon.
That was
Thank
good.
You.
That was a
Thank
good
you.
Vince McMahon.
McKenna, is the XFL already better than the NFL?
I think on this podcast I've stated I'd rather jump off a bridge than watch the XFL.
Have you not watched any XFL?
I watched last week, the first weekend. I was like, you know, might as well throw it on because I wasn't doing anything. Right. I think I watched a quarter, maybe two quarters.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bad football. Like, it's boring to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's bad. There are things about it though that are interesting. Like the new kickoff that they have is pretty cool. I think that's a good rule. The players being mic'd up constantly is good, and the coaches. What else is good about the XFL? I don't know.
Nothing.
They have a couple good rule changes. I think they have more rule changes, like the 1-point conversion, the 2-point conversion, the 3-point conversion.
That is cool.
That's cool, but like, it's all gimmicks, really. You know, it's nothing. It's not substantial.
Well, it's like with any other league that has challenged a major league. They always have some type of, you know, quote-unquote innovation and new strategy to bring into the game to differentiate it. And then eventually the big leagues end up buying the league out or whatever, and then the league adopts something. So it wouldn't be shocking if in, you know, 5 years we have kickoffs that look like the XFL or...
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I like about the XFL, too, if there's something, is... It's a stupid rule, too, but I like that they do the college one-foot rule with catches because it's infinitely easier to determine what a catch is, and the NFL still can't figure that out in their 100th season, what a catch is. So
did that back toe drag just a little bit? Are the pellets flying
up?
I don't
know.
Yes,
the pellets. I don't know. His shoes are white and the line's white. Do I see green? See green? And then we got some idiot... referee in the booth. Well, as you can see, I think it's a catch. And then the guy on the field says no. Like, how stupid is this league? They can't get the referees to agree on anything. And yes, they're different positions, but it's so asinine. It's just, oh, well, you know, let's take it back upstairs to Dean Blandino.
Ooh, call him out.
Well, I think his toe's on the line and he's juggling the ball, so he's out of bounds. Come up, the ruling on the field stands. We have a good catch. What? I'm sorry, that was like ADHD, like freak out. But the NFL is just brutal with officiating right now, and I can't believe that it's not their undoing yet.
I just think the NFL needs full-time officials, honestly, because like they need people who they need to like have these guys and girls, they need to understand every single rule, so that when you know. Something comes up, the game isn't paused for an extra 2 to 3 minutes. Because it's just like, football's already it's a slower game. But when you have officials who don't know what they're talking about at times, it's like, why? Like, how can you be an official? It's just garbage, really.
Mm-hmm. They might as well hire, like, high school refs.
That's really it.
I mean, really, there's no difference. It's like they don't. It's not like they watch closely. So
D'Lo, you are arguing that the XFL is already better than the NFL. That's what your argument is.
It will be a multi-billion-dollar juggernaut within the next 3 years.
I just think the NFL in general. I mean, officiating this year. Just looking back, there were games where officiating single-handedly ruined them. Yeah. Like just there was this mass. Who's the head of officiating? Like Alfredo Riveron or whatever? Al Riveron? It doesn't matter. I think his name's Alfredo or Alfred. It's one of the two. It's absolutely one of the two. Al Riveron. But like there was just this concerted effort to like, okay, the NFL changed the pass interference rule. Well, we're just going to call defensive holding instead. Yes. And also if we do call pass interference and it is challenged, we're not overturning it no matter what. It's just like there was this concerted effort to not do it. And I just think there's this level or this veil of superiority over the fans that the NFL thinks it has that like it's just not gonna let fans even have a peek into how they do things because you're just the fans, you just watch football or you cover football, you don't actually know how it happens, you don't have to know how it happens. Whereas the XFL now, it's just like, oh no, you will be a more informed viewer and you will be more connected to the game if you know why these plays and why these calls are playing out the way they're, happening. If you watch the refs discuss them, if you watch the guy in the booth with an Xbox controller watching the play again, it just creates this level of, not intimacy, but why calls are going the way they do.
It's transparent. It's nice to see. It's you know, even if they're coming to the consensus where it's like, oh, we're not 100% sure, at least they could say, all right, we've looked at it all angles. Here's why it is. It's just weird. The NFL has this weird, sensitivity. Snowflake, if you will. And
oh, my God.
where they anytime they're challenged, they just put up these walls and put up a fight. Whatever. We're the billion-dollar industry. This is what we do. You don't like it. Whatever. This is what we're doing. And there's still, I still think a lot of fans still feel like there's this, ethics of the game that still should exist that, yes, it's a huge business, but at some point the game still needs to have some semblance of ethics within it. I mean, we're talking about a league where we almost let Ray Rice back in, but still, at least on the field, things should have some sort of order to them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... Yeah, I think that with the XFL, though, that is something they do have going for it, and that's one of the rules, or not rules, but I guess policies that the NFL should adopt with fans being able to hear what the refs are talking about, because it is more interesting, and it's like something I would like to know why they're calling it, and why does, if one line judge says touchdown and another line judge says, down at the half-inch yard line, who gets to have that, deciding vote? How does it all work out? But, I don't know, the NFL probably won't ever do that because they are so, protective of their rules. And, I don't know, it's just sort of, it's frustrating because there were a lot of games these, as Kyle said, that were determined by the officials. I'm thinking of Lions and Packers, early on in the season.
Yes.
Who was the player that got called for, illegal hands to the face twice?
Yeah.
And both of those were, resulted either in sacks or incompletions where the Packers were going to go off the field and then they score on both those drives. So.
And that game, you could argue, single-handedly. That game, single-handedly changed the course of Detroit's season.
Yeah.
They were doing good. They were doing well up to that point. And then after that, it just kind of spiraled out of control. Stafford gets injured and now they have the third overall pick in the draft. So. It's just like you said, McKenna, if there's one thing I want to see the NFL adopt from the XFL, I don't need to see microphones getting thrown into players' faces as they're walking off the field.
That's one thing I absolutely hate, and I hate it in every league. It's just so ridiculous. You just got injured. What happened? Let the dude go to the tent.
You just had the game losing fumble. So how do you feel about that?
Just have some common human decency there.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I got to know, why did Philip Walker throw that interception?
Yeah. I don't need to hear play calls from the coaches because, I mean, that's going to, I mean, later, there's this whole sign-stealing scandal in baseball. I mean, it's not even going to be a scandal late-season NFL because they're just putting the play calls out there. Yeah. They're putting the verbiage out there for all teams to watch. So, I mean, I don't like public play calls, but I do like the transparency of a penalty review. So, if there's one thing I want the NFL to adopt, it's that. And also, I will say by, what year is it? 2020? I will say by 20... I just looked at the clock on my computer to find out what year it is. by 2025, we will see an NFL... I can't even talk. I'm having a stroke, sorry. An NFL-XFL merger. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait for those Houston derbies between the Texans and the Roughnecks. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have three LA teams, the Chargers, the Rams, and the Wildcats.
Nice. Nice.
Tampa will be a two NFL team city.
Love it.
Why does Tampa have an XFL team? Riddle me that.
It's sunny.
It's just stupid. I can't wait. But my friend and I did have this conversation last week. Last XFL topic. my friend and I had this conversation last week. How long, if assuming the XFL continues to get ratings, continues to be successful in some capacity, how long before it abandons its single entity model and you see big businessman, Johnny Business, Johnny Millionaire come in and try to buy a team and, you know, teams become, you know, owned by actual people as opposed to the league itself.
Ooh.
Will it ever happen?
If whatever makes the league more money at the, you know, I'd assume that if Johnny Businessman walks in and wants to buy a team, that's gonna cost less for the league to, you know, operate it. So 2-3 years maybe.
D'Lo.
Yeah, I was thinking 3 years as well. I think it depends on if they've learned their lesson from the USFL about being a second-tier league trying to compete with the big boys and you know, accepting money. You know, are we going to have another person come in and try and buy a team and then use that as a way of trying to get into the NFL where that ultimately led to failure in the USFL? So...
I hope so. That's genuinely what I hope happens. I want to live in the timeline. I want to live in the timeline where somebody comes in, buys the Houston Roughnecks. You know, no, we're gonna go Chris Christie. Let's go Chris Christie because we like Chris Christie today. Chris Christie buys the New York Guardians. He facilitates a merger between, or he renames them the New Jersey Guardians. He facilitates a merger between the NFL and the XFL, and then the league votes, and Vince McMahon becomes NFL commissioner.
That's
what
where
I want. That's the timeline that I want. I want the New York Guardians to beat the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. I want the Tampa Bay Vipers to win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a last-second Jameis pick six. I want P.J. Walker to prove that he is the best quarterback in Houston. I've been talking trash about the XFL all episode here. I am going to watch Houston today just because I want to see if P.J. Walker seriously is a man amongst boys in this league. Because he was actually fun to watch last week. He was looking like Russell Wilson out there. So we'll see how this goes. Any last second XFL talk before we move on?
Actually, yes. Like, this is just quick. So, the XFL was the first professional football league to use Skycam in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
In 2001, the NFL adopted it. So, if the XFL goes under and there are rules that fans like, we might see the NFL adopt some of them pretty quick.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, there are so many conversations about, will the XFL survive a year? Because everyone has flashbacks to the AAF last year. The AAF was a disaster from the start because Charlie Ebersol, say what you will, Charlie Ebersol's not a football guy. Charlie Ebersol is a film producer who fell in love with the idea of making a football league after making a documentary about the XFL. So he put himself around football guys who have no, like, They know the X's and O's. They know how to build teams. They don't know how to build a football league. So he put himself around these guys. They got it off the ground, I'll say that. But then investment fell short, and then they sold to the wrong guy. They sold to the Carolina Hurricanes owner, all he wanted was the app technology, and he wanted to, again, he looked at it as a way into the NFL. He was like, oh, I'll just merge with the NFL. It'll be great. We'll be the developmental league. And that didn't happen, obviously. The NFL was like, no, you've been around for 6 months, and you're in debt. I don't want that. That obviously didn't pan out. But people are having flashbacks of the AAF when they're thinking about the XFL and whether or not it'll last a year. This league is going to last at least 3 years. I do believe they have television contracts in, you know, locked in for 3 years where they're not going to make much money off of it, but they're, you know, if any money off of it, but it's exposure for 3 years. I think Vince McMahon has said publicly the funding is there for 3 years. He is comfortable losing money for however long he wants until he establishes a footprint. So this league will last at least 1 year, and I'm tired of this whole narrative of, you know, this is I'm putting my foot down here. I'm tired of the narrative that the XFL is going to fold after a year. It's not. It's been publicly stated multiple times that this is going to last at least 3 years. Could that change after Vince McMahon loses $2 billion or loses a zillion even? Maybe. But I do think this is going to last at least a few years here to the point where we do see a merger eventually. that whole rant kind of derailed there at the end. Now, are we ready to move on past XFL talk?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So here's what we did. The past two weeks, we have looked at every position group on the Buffalo Bills roster, and we have determined whether or not it is a position of need or not. Now, if you have not listened to those two prior episodes, the analytics and the numbers would suggest that you haven't. here's what we determined for each position. We said quarterback, maybe they need a backup. They need an upgrade over Matt Barkley. Running back/fullback. We said was a need. Wide receiver. We said was a need. Tight end. Maybe if someone's there, like a Greg Olsen. Maybe. Offensive line. Maybe. Everything was maybe. everything was yes or maybe besides secondary. That's all you need to know. So now what we're going to do for probably the next 30 minutes is we are going to look at prospective free agents at each position. I will write down the names of those who we like on a sheet of paper. Then at the end, we'll rank them 10 to 1, as I said at the top of the show. So, are you guys ready to get started here?
I'm more than ready. Yeah.
We're making a free agent big board. Here we go. Starting with quarterbacks. Any quarterbacks initially that we can think of that we love as potential additions?
Tom
here?
Tom Brady.
No?
There, I said it.
Drew Brees.
They wouldn't be bad. It's just in the case that Josh Allen breaks his leg while he's running, they would not be bad additions. But I think I was the one. I think, McKenna, you basically said they need an upgrade over Matt Barkley, whereas I was, you know, of the opinion that don't bring in someone to directly compete with Matt Barkley. Bring in, like, a UDFA quarterback to compete with Davis Webb. And if he impresses and he supplants Barkley, well, then that's what he does. But I don't think Barkley is necessarily someone you need to bring in. I don't think Barkley is someone you need to replace. I don't think that is a glaring need, backup quarterback. I don't think it's a glaring need. But I'll read a couple names to you guys. You tell me whether or not they should be brought in as backups to Josh Allen. Chad Henne.
Ooh, no. No.
Colt McCoy.
Ooh, ooh.
This is who we're looking at. These are the type of names we're looking at here. Drew Stanton. Josh McCown. Trevor Siemian. AJ McCarron. Are any of these guys necessarily better than Matt Barkley?
I
don't think so.
I think it's at best a horizontal move.
Exactly.
I mean, you have Barkley's under contract for one more year. The reason you have Josh Allen is because you're hoping that he plays 16 games. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you really need to invest in a backup as much as, you know, Chase Daniel, like what they did in Chicago behind Trubisky. Because Chase Daniel, I think, maybe it was like a $5 million cap hit last year. So with with Barkley making two, he might as well just stick with Barkley. I mean, I don't think you're going to get anybody much better. I don't think you're going to bring in, like, Marcus Mariota to back up, so no.
You're not. Like, Blaine Gabbert, Sean Mannion, Jameis Winston. These are the names we're looking at.
Honestly,
here.
Jameis Winston is a shout.
No, Jameis Winston's going to get paid. Someone's going to give him a lot of money. I would give Jameis Winston a lot of money.
Oh, he'd be a train wreck in Buffalo, though.
I'm stupid. I will fully admit that I am dumb. But also, if I were an NFL GM and I could get Jameis Winston for $25 to $30 million, you bet you're whatever I'm doing that. I will do that in a heartbeat. I trust my coaching staff to still have him pass for 5,000 and 30 tutters and get rid of those 30 interceptions entirely. He just got LASIK eye surgery. He can see the field now.
He's made the perfect quarterback.
If he was putting up 5,000 yards with, you know, while he's not able to see, imagine what he can do when he can see.
That's true. That's true.
It's going to be incredible. I would give Jameis Winston a lot of money. I had this conversation with my friend the other day, my friend Matt. I should just have Matt on the podcast because half the podcast typically is just me referencing conversations I've had with him. But our conversation was Derek Carr versus Jameis Winston. He said, you can't fix 30 interceptions. And I said, well, I can fix 30 interceptions.
The quarterback guru that you are, you'll fix them.
Well, of course you could fix it. Didn't we say Josh Allen couldn't be fixed and accuracy improved?
That's what they said. There and it is. Now,
now we're up to 58%.
Perfect.
You're right.
Small improvements You're... over time, you know.
Growth mindset.
Genuinely, though, I like Jameis Winston. I would give him money. If I trust my coaching staff to fix him.
I don't think I would put him on my Madden team.
Why?
No.
He's a perfect Madden. He's perfect in Madden.
Just sling it.
Exactly.
I was doing a Vegas rebuild the other day. That's how this whole Derek Carr versus Jameis Winston conversation started, because I traded Derek Carr for Jameis Winston. Which was, like, you know, a lateral move. Yeah. That makes sense for both teams. But, like, my first my first play with Jameis Winston as the Vegas quarterback was an interception. And then I threw another one in the second quarter, and I was like, this isn't working out.
So, just looking at Spotrac right now, or Spotrac, he had 12 fumbles last year.
So he had 42 turnovers?
I don't know if there were fumbles lost, necessarily. But still, that's a lot of putting the ball on the ground and in somebody else's mm-hmm. hands.
That is incredible. That is...
He's the best.
Oh, my God. He's the MVP. He will be the league MVP before all is said and done. But there is a quarterback I genuinely want to talk about. I'm just going to write his name down. Whether or not he ultimately makes our big board is another topic here. Sorry, my pen has died. There we go. Taysom Hill.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
I love Taysom Hill. I knew it was coming. I want Taysom Hill here. And hear me out here. Taysom Hill, they're going to put a second-round tender on him because he's a restricted free agent. So you're probably going to have to pay him $8 to $10 million a year. And this is assuming they re-sign Drew Brees or Teddy Bridgewater. You're going to have to pay Taysom Hill a considerable amount of money and probably give them a second or third-round pick to get a gadget player. And Taysom Hill doesn't necessarily want to be a gadget player anymore. I think he wants to be a quarterback. All of these things being said, I would take a long look at Taysom Hill just because Taysom Hill is not going to make a bad offense good. But what Taysom Hill will do is make a good offense better. If the Bills bring in a complimentary back to Devin Singletary and a number one offensive playmaker, you add Taysom Hill to that offense to come in as a slot receiver, as a tight end, as a running back, as a quarterback occasionally, as a special teamer. You just bring Taysom Hill in, he will just, that just gives teams a weapon. I mean, you saw it all year in New Orleans. Teams just didn't know how to plan for Taysom Hill. And you bring Taysom Hill into Buffalo. I mean, I tweeted this the other day. I have imagined the formation where it's Josh Allen and Taysom Hill standing next to each other in the backfield. You don't know who's getting the ball on the snap. You don't know if Josh Allen's going to throw it. You don't know if he's going to hand off to Taysom Hill or pass. You don't know if Taysom Hill's going to hand off to Josh Allen or just run. There's so many situations that teams would have to plan for when they see two athletic quarterbacks lined up in the backfield next to each other. They would just be like, oh my God, they could do about 16 things just from the snap. I don't know what to do. And you put Isaiah McKenzie in motion, or John Brown, all-pro quarterback in his own right. True. You put John Brown in motion, and you see three all-pro quarterbacks right there. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just, it would be incredible. And again, I don't know if I want to pay $10 million a year to a gadget player, but also, I might. I might want to.
You're convincing me right there. Like, I'm just imagining that formation. It's something else. And yeah, if you do bring in Isaiah McKenzie, who is, you know, the jet sweep master, you know, it would confuse every defense. They'd be like, who gets the ball? How?
Exactly.
I feel like it's going to be the triple option.
Oh my.
Exactly.
God. We're going to run Navy's option. Offense next year. Get ready.
You love to see it.
Oh my gosh.
That would be incredible. It would be so fun, but they're not going to do it just because this team is no fun. So, yeah, I wrote Taysom Hill's name down, whether or not he ultimately makes our big board. That's a conversation for later in the podcast. Going on to running back after I mute my mic momentarily so I can burp.
Good.
That's solid.
Now we're back.
Let's look at running back.
That's what we're doing. Let's here.
Do it.
Are the top names at running back. This why I don't want I yeah sort it by rush yards. Thank you. Here, whoa, Carlos Hyde had 1,000 last year.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Got like the good for him. Last game of the season or something.
Good for him.
Your boy had 1,500 plus.
Here are the top running backs. Number one, Derrick Henry as a prospective free agent. We also have Carlos Hyde, Adrian Peterson, Kenyon Drake, Gus Edwards, Matt Breida, Melvin Gordon, Frank Gore, Austin Eckler, Jordan Howard, Damian Williams, Peyton Barber. Have you guys ever heard of LeSean McCoy?
I think he's next on the list.
I don't think I've ever heard of LeSean. He played for Kansas City.
Won Super Bowl. Good for him.
I don't know if he dressed, though.
I don't think he must not have dressed because I don't know who he is. He had 465 yards last year, so he wasn't very good. Huh, okay. DeAndre Washington, who, of course, everyone has heard of. And Brian Hill, Jonathan Williams, Bilal Powell. Okay, now we're Kareem Hunt. Ooh. We're into Tywan Jones territory. So,
we could also throw like a Lamar Miller in there because he was injured this year.
Okay, I'll write down a few names here. I'll write down Lamar Miller.
Yeah, you pick your guys and we'll.
Derrick Henry, of course, we'll have a conversation about. This is what I feared. We talked about nonsense for 30 minutes, and now we're
reaping what we sowed. Really.
Damn it.
Melvin Gordon, I'll write down.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay, so we'll have these conversations later about who we actually want on the big board. But these are just names to put down to talk about later. Jordan Howard, of course, he's probably going to make the list just because he's such an intriguing option. In my opinion, a good compliment. Do we write down this LeSean McCoy character or no?
No.
Wow. Marshawn Lynch, fit. Do we write down Marshawn Lynch?
Yes. Oh, I want Marshawn Lynch back in Buffalo so bad.
Also write down Theo Riddick.
Oh, no.
All right, do you guys want to talk about fullbacks or no?
No.
There's like three in the league.
No.
Well, here's the thing. You look at like San Francisco, you see what a good fullback can do for your team, but there's no other Kyle Juszczyks in the league.
Yeah, well, they also don't split him out wide, do they?
They do a lot with Kyle Juszczyk.
It's that, like, you see DeMarco out wide going on a nine route, and you go, holy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Great team.
I would trade a first round pick for Kyle Juszczyk.
A first round pick, did you just say?
Yep. Yep. In a heartbeat.
Oh gosh, Kyle. We have to have a discussion.
he's the host and a troll.
What is going on? That's right. He's subverting his own podcast.
This is a side note. I got in a fight on Twitter this week.
Oh boy.
Just using the same.
Oh, yeah.
I said the same thing four or five times. Here's the fight, and it's incredible. Let me find this. So Nick Wotan, friend of the pod, he's been on it once. He's also the managing editor of BillsWire. I don't know if you guys knew that, but he wrote an article about how Bleacher Report predicted Greg Olsen to sign with the Bills. And I responded, "Bad. Don't you know he's old, washed up? Whoever wrote this is trash." Somebody responded to me, "You're dumb if you don't want him, especially since he's not worth a big contract." I said, "Bad. Don't you know he's old? Washed up. Whoever wrote this is trash." He said, "34 ain't old, and he had better than all of our TDs. but go on about how he's washed up. I said, bad. Don't you know he's old? Washed up. Whoever wrote this is trash. So then he sent me a video of The Rock saying, shut up, bitch.
He got
offended.
The people's elbow!
Yeah, speaking of the XFL, he got very, very heated in this conversation, which I said the same thing. But moving on to wide receivers, AJ Green's on the market. D'Lo, I know you have AJ Green opinions. I've put him on the list. We'll get to him later.
Let's do it.
Emmanuel Sanders, do we see any scenario where he departs from San Fran? Old, washed up.
Yeah.
Don't you know he's old? Devin Funchess doesn't do it for me.
No.
Paul Richardson, he was a conversation to be had like 2 or 3 years ago.
He was,
not so much anymore.
Not much there.
We'll write down Amari Cooper. I don't think Amari Cooper is gonna leave Dallas, but we'll put him on the initial big board because he hasn't been signed yet. Danny Amendola. Yes or no?
He still plays in the league?
He plays for Detroit.
Still in the league.
Oh,
I mean, I'd say no.
He's a worse version of Cole Beasley. There, I said it.
No, you're right. Travis Benjamin, worse version of Andre Roberts.
keep going.
Brashad Perryman.
Bad version of John Brown.
There we go.
Chester Rogers. Robbie Anderson is a name
to put
on there.
Yeah, he's interesting.
I like Robbie Anderson. Demaryius Thomas, old, washed up. Geronimo Allison. I like Geronimo Allison, partly because of his name.
I'll imagine when he scores a touchdown for Buffalo and everyone just says Geronimo, like, really loud. Oh, that'd be great.
No one would do that.
That would be great.
John Murphy would do it.
Oh, he would.
Geronimo!
Exactly.
Bills win! John, it's the second quarter.
This is kickoff.
Matthew Slater. I'm putting Matthew Slater on here just because it would be such a Bills move to give Matthew Slater big money so he can play special teams. That would be so fun.
That's the process.
They're going to give him $5 million a year to play special teams, and I can't wait. Philip Dorsett is a name to put on there just because he's still relatively young. He's 27. He's got speed.
27, oh my God.
So he's not relatively young anymore. I think I called Shaq Lawson young last year, and he's like 27 or something. I said last year, and by last year I meant last podcast. Nelson Aguilar. He wasn't dropping it like Aguilar.
Is he named to put on there?
I'm putting Nelson Aguilar on there because he's 20.
He's 27.
Where is it?
So he's young.
Oh, what the hell? When have these people gotten older? Answer, every day. But also
it's time.
Yeah, I didn't think Nelson Aguilar was that old. I still thought he was like 24 or 25. The more you know. Nelson Aguilar is not going on the list in that case. Haha. Take that, Nelson Aguilar.
Well, I think anybody who's younger is going to be an RFA.
You're right. We're still in UFAs here, technically. Yeah. Tajay Sharpe, good Madden player to have. Mike Thomas, the Rams one, not the good one.
What was his
name? Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie, yeah, re-signed those. There's a guy named Amba Etetewau. I like him. So we wrote down a few wideouts here. I think we'll move on here to tight ends. I'm not going to put Greg Olsen because I honestly think he'll be signed, whether it be by the Bills or by another team, before this podcast even goes out. So I'm not going to put Greg Olsen here. But I do think there are a few tight ends to talk about. Vernon Davis just retired, so we're not going to talk about him. Tyler Eifert is intriguing because they signed the other Cincinnati tight end last year, and Tyler Eifert, his entire career it's been he's good, he can move, he's, you know, he could be one of the league's premier tight ends, but he's just made of glass. So do you take a swing on him or no?
You already have a tight end that could be good, but he's made of glass.
You already have the former Cincinnati tight end who could be good,
exactly,
but can't stay healthy. Eric Ebron.
Ooh, yes, put him on the list.
D'Lo, how are you feeling?
Let's put him on a list. Let's talk about it. I just think his market value is going to be a little higher than what we might be interested in paying a tight end.
Mm-hmm. How about Hunter Henry? He's not going to hit the open market, but let's say hypothetically Hunter Henry does hit the open market.
He's getting paid.
In which case, He's getting. I would pay Hunter Henry. Again, it's not my money, but I would spend Terry Pegula's money on Hunter Henry. Then we look at Charles Clay.
Yes, bring him back.
Well, he's a UFA already? Wow. Nick O'Leary, Logan Thomas.
Bring them all back.
We're in this, yeah.
Nick O'Leary Ricky doesn't wear gloves. Jones. Did you know that?
Also, he's the grandson of a famous golfer.
Did you know that?
I think I'd heard that on a broadcast once or twice.
Every quarter of every game he's played.
Let's go to offensive line. Again, and I'm of the opinion here you re-sign Quentin Spain, and that's what you do. That's your offensive line moves. Maybe you bring in some depth. Otherwise, I don't know. But hey, let's talk about the offensive line. Let's talk about the premier guys. Andrew Whitworth, I think if he does come back, if he doesn't retire, I think he'll probably stay with the Rams. But also the Rams don't have any money, so maybe he can be wooed. So how do you guys feel about signing Andrew Whitworth and throwing Dawkins at right tackle and then putting Ford in at guard, or having Whitworth play at right tackle and putting Ford at guard? Is this even a conversation we should have or no?
How old is he?
Oh, he's 38. 38
years old.
No, that's enough for me.
Don't even entertain him?
Don't even entertain 38 is...
What about Greg Robinson for depth, yes or no? Do they need depth? What do we think here?
Yeah, it's always good to have depth across the offensive line.
So I'll put Greg Robinson, because who's their backup left tackle? Ryan Bates?
Yeah.
They definitely need depth at left tackle.
Yeah, they do.
And Greg Robinson is like if he's your starting left tackle, you probably have a bad offensive line. Whoa, Greg Robinson made $6 million last year?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he played in Cleveland.
Oh, boy. Daryl Williams is a guy to look at. I do think there is a scenario where they do not sign Quentin Spain. They put Cody Ford at left guard and Daryl Williams. They bring Daryl Williams back to start at right tackle. I could see that happening. I really could.
Didn't we try him last year? Wasn't that a name we kicked around last year to sign instead of Nsekhe?
Maybe. Oh, I forgot about Ty Nsekhe. He makes a lot of money. Ty Nsekhe makes considerable dough. Jason Peters is on here. Didn't he retire, or am I crazy?
You're crazy.
Well, I'm just crazy for other reasons, but...
No, he didn't retire.
Consider me shocked.
38. Oh, my goodness.
Former Bills great tight end.
Do you try him a tight end again? Is that your tight end need, Phil?
There it is.
At 328 pounds. Perfect.
I mean, we have Lee Smith, so...
Oh, true. Oh, no.
I don't want to just pretend I know what I'm talking about here. These are depth offensive linemen. Who cares?
Yeah.
Genuinely, who cares? I'm going to have people in my mentions saying, don't you know that BJ Finney had a 42.6 run blocking grade from PFF? He's awful. I'm like, okay.
But in Buffalo, we don't like PFF.
No, we don't.
You're right. We don't like PFF. We only like PFF when it's in our favor. If they say that Tremaine Edmonds is good, well, then PFF's amazing. But also, if Josh Allen's bad, well, then PFF doesn't know what they're talking about. I'm of the opinion that PFF in general doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
but
they're generally pretty bad.
Any other names here that are sticking out? I realize I'm the only one looking at the screen.
No,
but
I mean, I think I'm looking at the same screen. I would actually take a swing if we wanted a real right tackle and we were going to kick forward inside. What about Brian Bulaga?
Is he there?
From Green Bay.
Yes, I'm... Okay, that works for me.
Now, he's going to make some money, but, you know, he's...
But also, you're going to have a better offensive line.
I mean, he's been, you know, in front of Aaron Rodgers for years, and if Josh Allen's, you know, part two of Aaron Rodgers slinging the ball around...
All right, let's have this conversation, just because this is what we do on podcasts, right? We have conversations.
And it's 53 minutes.
Brian Bulaga is probably a considerable upgrade over Cody Ford at right tackle, right? Mm-hmm. That is a considerable upgrade.
I would say yes.
Quentin Spain to Cody Ford at left guard.
Ooh.
How big of a drop-off is that?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
See, it's...
I don't know if it's a huge drop-off.
I don't know if it's huge. We really didn't... I mean... You think back to Ford, we only saw him at guard during the preseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they really want him to develop at a position, they'll specialize him and they probably won't want to kick him inside. That's the only problem.
Well, that's the thing, is I think they were kind of forced to play him at tackle last year because someone went down. I think, was it Nseki who went down early?
Yeah.
Well, Nseki got hurt and Waddle got hurt and...
Right, and it got to the point where Feliciano came in to play at guard while Ford had to play at tackle, and then Feliciano just kind of took the job and ran with it, and there was no way they could have taken the job away from him. So then that's why they got stuck with the platoon at right tackle with Nseki and Ford, because they just couldn't take that job away from Feliciano. So I do think the idea was to develop Ford. I think their decision was forced. So now if they have the opportunity to make that decision again... Cody Ford was not great last year. Cody Ford was fine. He had flashes of good play. But also, I don't know what his ceiling is at right tackle. I don't know if I would call him a franchise right tackle. And that was kind of always the buzz about him, was he'd be a very good guard, average tackle. So if you can put him in at guard, you're hypothetically paying, you're giving Quentin Spain's money to Brian Bulaga. Maybe a little more.
Yeah, you're definitely giving more, but it's, I think you're getting...
Better player. Okay. We'll have that conversation. Any other depth linemen here to talk about? Marshall Newhouse. Ryan Groy.
Ooh, no.
Joe Thunney. Joe from New England. Wasn't he injured last year? No, he might have played. I don't know. I think he's pretty good. Joe from New England. We got Joe from New England on the line. Joe, how are you? Richie Incognito. He just re-signed.
He re-signed, yeah.
See, this is why this website... I mean, all of these guys could have already been re-signed. We just have no idea who we're talking about. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball. Just because, it's a lot of fun here. Von Miller has a club option. Oh, no. Sorry, I clicked on the wrong thing. I clicked on defense, not defensive line. I was like, Josh Norman is not a defensive lineman. Jadeveon Clowney. Marcel Darius.
Marcel, bring him back.
Michael Brockers. Ndamukong Suh. Derek Wolfe. Ziggy Ansah. Jabal Sheard. Michael Bennett. Mike Daniels. Robert Quinn. Gerald McCoy. Vic Beasley. Jordan Phillips. Leonard Williams. Shaq Lawson. Eric Armstead. Any names here that...
Well, I think... Are we going to agree that we should bring back Shaq Lawson?
Yes.
Okay, so if we bring back Shaq Lawson, then I'm thinking we're not going to have somebody who we're going to pay a lot of money to. It'll be more of a rotational guy. If we weren't bringing back Shaq Lawson, then I'd say let's kind of look up for somebody, go like... I don't know. Robert Quinn. Although Robert Quinn's going to get paid because he had a big year. But somebody a little bigger, Ansah, somebody like that.
Yeah, I think Ziggy Ansah is a good, would make sense if the Bills bring back Shaq Lawson, which I think they, I don't know. It's like, it's 50-50, honestly, because, yeah, you could see the scenario where they do, the scenario where they don't. But he's a name that sticks out because he was linked with Buffalo a lot all last season, off season. So, he had a pretty decent year in Seattle, right?
3 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles.
Not bad. So, I mean, you wouldn't be paying him big money, and just having more depth across the board is always good.
Well, this could be like the John Brown situation last year, right? They were interested in him in the 2018 offseason. John Brown goes to Baltimore on a one-year prove-it deal, comes back the next year and gets his big boy contract from Buffalo. I mean, and you saw... That was the 2018 offseason. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I can't even keep track of my thoughts. This is a great podcast. But regardless, last year, the Bills had interest in Ziggy Ansah. He was in the building on the day where they were, presenting all their free agents to the media. That was speculated because Brandon Bean's press conference got pushed back many hours, so everyone was thinking he's working out the deal with Ziggy Ansah, but it never happened. Ziggy Ansah ultimately went to Seattle for a one-year prove-it deal. Maybe he comes back this year and gets his money with Buffalo. So that's a conversation to have. Jadeveon Clowney, do we see him ever leaving Seattle, or what do we think here?
Well, I don't think he's coming to Buffalo. Okay, I mean, I just think money-wise, it would be insane.
Do we put down a Mike Daniels? Or a Robert Quinn or a Leonard Williams. These are all second-tier guys.
Yeah.
I don't know about... I mean, Robert Quinn might not be a second-tier guy, but I'll put down Mike Daniels just because, you know, he's that veteran leadership and he can still play a little bit. This is kind of a hot take. I think they are going to bring in an elite pass rusher this year. I don't think it's going to be through free agency. I think the Bills are going to be active on the trade market this year.
Ooh.
I do. I said this in Slack yesterday. I just have this sneaking suspicion that Joey Bosa is the point I'm getting at. You look at the Chargers, Joey Bosa, they have bad ownership in Los Angeles. They have bad ownership. Joey Bosa is in the last year of his deal. He's going to need a big contract. Do we trust the Chargers to pay Joey Bosa to keep him around? Do we think Joey Bosa wants to stick around in Los Angeles that's about to go through a rebuild? Do we expect Joey Bosa to want that?
No.
Do you think Joey Bosa has already done enough to earn a big extension?
I think so. Yeah, I don't.
I say they trade for Joey Bosa. I think he fits Buffalo for numerous reasons. Number one.
Jesus Christ.
all of our people have just gone out the Holy window now.
So yeah, I think they trade for Joey Bosa. That's my hot take. If I were Brandon Bean, I would trade for Joey Bosa.
Oh my
We're gonna move.
God, I just took my earphones off and just like,
oh no.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You said that too casually.
We're gonna move
Oh my God.
We're gonna move on to Dante Fowler here. We're moving on to linebacker.
I can't wait till you edit this.
I'm just going to bleep that out and keep your reactions to it.
Oh, no.
Everyone's going to be like, what did he say? Did he say maybe.
But you don't edit this part out?
No. What the...
We're falling apart here. This is what happens. As soon as we hit the hour,
it's over. Like, we should just...
Falls apart.
We literally should just sign off with just our list.
No, we're, well, no, I know, it, I know, won't, I know. It won't take us long. It won't take us long to make the 10.
How much?
Mario Addison, I'm writing down. Dante Fowler, I'm
Fowler,
writing
write down.
Terrell Suggs. Oof. Shaquille Barrett's not leaving Tampa.
No,
but,
no.
Lorenzo Alexander, he'd be big. Patrick Onwuosor. There's a way to pronounce it. I heard it once, but I still like to pronounce it like he's a dinosaur. Patrick Onwuosor, whatever. He's good. He's a former safety. He'd be a good I quite like him. Bud Dupree. I like Bud Dupree.
Me too.
Jamie Collins, I like. These are all Jamie Collins is more of like a Lorenzo replacement,
yeah.
Whereas Bud Dupree, you'd probably make him a 4-3 defensive end. Jamie Collins, Vontaze Perfect.
Oh boy.
How do we feel about Vontaze?
We need that, you know, aggression in the locker room that really just brings the team together. Those violent tendencies.
All right, so can you guys just talk about something while I count how many names I wrote down?
There's so much to talk about with this free agent class. I think it's a sort of a weak class, in my opinion, overall.
25. We wrote down 25 names. So now what we will do, sorry, McKenna.
I'm just trying to fill time here.
I wrote down 25 names and now we have to get it down to 10. We have to get it down to the big board, right? So do you want me to read off the names and then, we'll talk from there. I've just realized that I'm sitting multiple, inches back from my microphone and I'm holding my journal in front of it so that... Oh, this audio, this podcast. So here are the names. Here are the names, and we can determine whether or not they're in the top 10, right? Taysom Hill. Do you think he's a potential top 10 guy here?
Yes. Just due to your argument alone, I think he should be in the top 10.
Number 10,
number
maybe?
Number 10, yeah.
Lamar Miller. Do you think he's a top 10 guy or no?
No.
I don't think so. D'Lo?
See, I was going to say yes, but I got outvoted 2-1 because I think he'd be a good guy to just take a swing at to compliment.
Hey, well, We'll have that.
But that's okay. I'm making my two column chart here of yeses and nos right now.
Oh wow.
Derrick Henry.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I mean, he's not signed yet, so he could go on the big board. Melvin Gordon.
Ooh, again, yes.
I don't know. I wouldn't pay Melvin Gordon. I wouldn't. Not at this point. I don't think. I mean, he's coming off a not great year. He held out, and what did that get him? It made him the second choice running back behind Austin Eckler. I think I'd rather Austin Eckler than Melvin Gordon, to be completely honest with you. D'Lo, you're the deciding vote here on Melvin Gordon.
Let's go. If we're going to have Henry on the list, then let's go no.
Ooh. Jordan Howard. I would very much like Jordan Howard.
I think would fit nicely.
Yeah, he'd be a very good compliment to Devin Singletary. Theo Riddick.
I think he was Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard's a big boy.
Yeah. I for some reason I thought he was like 5'5". I was like, oh, another, you know, short running back. No, he's 6 foot. You know, has a good. Jordan Howard's a yes for me, I guess.
Theo Riddick, good receiving back.
I'd say no because we already have Yeldon.
Oh, I forgot he existed.
And they do the same thing. So true. I think we'd be fine with $2 million for Yeldon or 1.9 or whatever it is.
AJ Green. I'm putting him
on. Put him on.
Here's my argument. AJ Green, though he's coming off a bad year, AJ Green, I still think has a little left in the tank, at least a little. And D'Lo, you threw around a number the other day. You read that his market value was like $9 million.
Spotrac said $9 million, and I think that's low. I think the market's going to drive it up quite a bit. But if it's like a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal, if he's not going long term, I mean, why wouldn't you go 12, 13 million for a guy?
In a heartbeat for a guy of AJ Green's talent, even though he has the injury concerns. And granted, he was injured last year, but I think about 50% of the reason why he missed the entire year is because Cincinnati was awful. He was like, I'm not risking a thing. I can finally get out of this hellhole, and I have a reason not to play. Okay, well, then I'm not going to play. So I do think AJ Green, half the reason why he stayed out last year was probably precautionary, because I think he was listed as day-to-day for like the second half of the season. So I would give AJ Green 2 years, 12 to 13 mil per in a heartbeat. Amari Cooper, I don't even want to put him on the list just because I don't think he's leaving Dallas. And no. If he does, I don't think he's coming to Buffalo. Robbie Anderson's interesting because he's the type of guy where, like, he could be a number one receiver, but I just don't think he's ever going to be.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had the best, like, quarterbacks to work with throughout his time in New York, though, so.
Right, and now he has a bad coach, too.
That's
so
true. The worst coach, truly.
The worst coach. He's just unfortunate. So are we gonna entertain Robbie Anderson here?
I think so.
We'll put him on the short list, on the shorter short list. Geronimo Allison. I like Geronimo Allison. I don't think I'd ever put him top 10 players to sign in the offseason. Matthew Slater?
No. Number one. Because he is a process guy.
He's an A special teamer.
That's something Buffalo would do. Just pay someone who just plays special teams $5 million.
They would. They would give him $5 million to bring him from New England to play special teams. They would do that. That's something they would absolutely do. I'm putting a star next to our guy Matthew Slater here. Philip Dorsett, I think he just kind of adds to strength. He adds to speed, which you don't need more speed. Speed's nice to have, but also when that's all you have.
You know.
D'Lo, Philip Dorsett thoughts?
No, I think if we're going wide receiver, we need like a number one top flight wide receiver, big guy.
Right. McKenna?
Yeah, that's a no from me.
Tyler Eifert?
Hmm.
Again, it depends what he wants. It depends what his money is. If he wants like 2 years, 4 or 5 mil per, I think I would take that. I think I would take that risk there just because he's intriguing. He's 29. He just can't stay healthy, but I mean, I hate when people make this point, but look at the Bills last year. They stayed abnormally healthy all year. Can that be attributed to luck or to the new $18 million training facility? And I think Tyler Eifert's the type of player that you look at and say, he's talented, and I trust my training staff. I trust my medical staff.
And plus, last year, he played in all 16 games.
Did he?
Yeah, first time in his career.
Good for you, Tyler.
You did it.
Oh, well, then someone's probably going to pay him. Eek. Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron's kind of, I don't know. I feel like sometimes he's very good. Other times he's just like, what are you doing, buddy?
Just remember, he was the name in 2014 that we were thinking about drafting.
He was, but then they got Sammy Watkins instead, which was, it proved to be a beneficial
much,
trade.
Much better trade.
Eric Ebron, are we even going to entertain it? Hunter Henry, I'm not going to entertain because he's not going to hit the open.
No.
What about Austin Hooper?
I just don't
Hooper?
See that happening. Oh, I didn't even talk about Austin Hooper. Yeah, we can talk about Austin Hooper. I like Austin Hooper. I think he's a good tight end. I think he's going to get a lot of money. I'll put him on the short list if we don't put Eric Ebron on. Does that work for y'all?
Yeah, I think that works.
Let's do it.
Greg Robinson, yes or no?
Oh, offensive lineman. I don't know. I'll be honest.
I'm going to put Stars next to Darrell Williams and Brian Bulaga because I'll be honest, with that conversation we had about Brian Bulaga, I talked myself into him.
Nice.
I talked myself into the idea of putting him at right tackle and then Cody Ford slotting in at right guard. Let me see if Brian Bulaga, watch, he's already signed a contract or something. So let me just look up Brian Bulaga extension here to see if it's according to ESPN's Chris Mortensen, Bulaga has agreed to a 5-year, $33 million deal. But when was this written? In 2015.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay. So it's,
out of date.
You know. Yeah, that was a few years ago. We can talk about Brian Bulaga. Ziggy Ansah, yes, on the big board.
Yes, on the big
board. Yeah.
And Ziggy Ansah, again, I said I could see them trading for a guy.
Don't trade for Ziggy
Ansah. And even if they do... Well, yeah, even if they do trade for a guy, Ziggy Ansah is not, he's not going to break the bank, I don't think. He's going to be, and they have a lot of money even if he does. So I think he'd be a good depth guy. He'd be a very good rotational pass rusher, I think.
Would he want to be a rotational pass rusher?
Everyone's a rotational pass rusher in this defense.
That's right.
Every defensive end's a rotational pass rusher just because they're playing 60, the max you're playing is like 60 to 65% of snaps.
Yeah.
So Clowney. Like you said, I don't think he's coming to Buffalo. Mike Daniels, again, I like Mike Daniels. I don't know if I'd put him top 10. He'd be like a late July signing if he's still there. Good to bring him in for training camp. If he makes the roster, cool. If not, whatever. Dante Fowler. I think someone's going to overpay Dante Fowler. He's always been fine. He's never really stuck out to me as an elite player. Would he be a linebacker here, or would he be a 4-3 defensive end?
I think he'd have to be a 4-3 defensive end. I think he's going to get paid because he had 11.5 sacks last year. I think somebody's going to throw a lot of money at him. He apparently played a lot of snaps last year for the Rams. So, I mean, as a 25, 26-year-old, I don't think he's going to come in and be a rotational guy. I think he wants to get paid.
And I don't know if that's good value. I don't know if Dante Fowler is the type of guy who I would want to give elite pass rusher money to. Let me check his stats. Is he an elite pass rusher? Do I just not know what I'm talking about? That's a very real possibility that I just don't know what I'm talking about here. He's coming off a career year 11.5 sacks. Before that, his max was 8 in 2017. That doesn't scream, give him a lot of money to me. He's 25. You're bringing him in thinking that he will consistently get 11.5 sacks, but will he?
Maybe.
You don't know. There's no prior indication that he will.
He's playing like 80% of the snaps on defense. He did last year at least.
Exactly, and he wouldn't here.
And I don't think he'd settle for that here because he wouldn't be able to put up the numbers. So I think I don't think we'd do it.
Mario Addison. Carolina connection.
If he played in Carolina, then he's coming to Buffalo. You know, that's just the way it works.
Lorenzo replacement, probably. Patrick Onwuasor. I love Patrick Onwuasor. I love Patrick Tyrannosaur. I think he'd replace Lorenzo in a different way because Lorenzo was the linebacker and situational pass rusher, whereas Onwuasor would not be that. He would not be the situational pass rusher. He would be the coverage guy. He'd be the coverage linebacker. You could occasionally use him as a pass rusher if he wanted to. I don't know if that's where he makes his money. What you could do is, you know, he'd play that outside backer role. You could have him drop back to safety occasionally if you want to put Micah Hyde or Jordan Poirier in the box. I think he adds some versatility there, and I do think, again, I don't think he's leaving Baltimore, but if he hits the market, I think he would be a very good signing.
And it's a good fit too, you know, with Buffalo's defense, and Sean McDermott loves players who can play in more than one position, which I've said 1,000 times before, but it's so true. So he's like, it would be silly if he hits the open market and Buffalo doesn't try to do anything with him, because he is like a perfect fit for it, really.
Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree is not very good in coverage. No. He's fine, but he's not. You're not going to bring in Bud Dupree. No,
he's rushing the passer.
Yeah, exactly. I have him written down on mine. I like Bud Dupree a lot.
I just think he's getting paid.
Yeah, I think he's a better. You could have him fill Lorenzo Alexander's role if you want him to be more the occasional pass rusher side of it. But I do think if you do pay Bud Dupree, you're not going to have him be a 4-3 outside linebacker. Nope. You're going to have him be a defensive end. You're going to have his hand in the dirt. And I do think he's going to get paid a lot of money. And again, he's the type of guy, he has more consistent production than Dante Fowler, but he's coming off 11.5 sacks, and he's never had double digits before that. So I like Bud Dupree, but I don't know if I want to give him a lot of money. I'll put him on the list, but it'll be late.
Yeah, I just think that in looking like, reading like articles about Bud Dupree and the whole Steelers situation, they might not have the money to bring him back. So it's looking likely that he will hit the open market. So, you know, it's not like an Amari Cooper situation where we all expect him to stay in Dallas. So, yeah, I don't know.
He's through to the next round. Jamie Collins. Jaime Collins. What do we think?
Jamie
Collins.
I think I like the idea of stealing a New England stalwart more than I like the idea of Jamie Collins.
Me too.
Same with Matthew Slater.
Yeah, every single New England free agent, including Tom Brady, they're all coming to Buffalo.
How much money are we realistically thinking Jamie Collins is going to get?
Well, right now, okay, so SpotTrek says average annual salary, calculated market value of $8.8 million. So I would say, with free agency, that'll get bumped up a little bit more. I just feel like SpotTrek's, you know, annual salaries are a little low based on past signings. Just because it seems like AJ Green, somebody's going to go well beyond $9 million for him. You know, I think Jamie Collins, you know, you might see him get $10 million a year. Do you want to pay that to somebody who
it's 30
might not be a starter necessarily?
No, I don't. I'm leaning no towards Jamie Collins.
All right, yeah, let's get him off the list then.
It's fine.
Get out of here, Jamie Collins. What are you doing here? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We narrowed it down to 15. We only got 10 people off the list. Jesus, what are we doing? All right, we have to get this to 10 people. So Lamar Miller, no. I think I'm taking Lamar Miller off the list. Or no, do we take Derrick Henry off the list just because he's unrealistic?
Well, I'd say Derrick Henry's unrealistic, but I'd keep either. You know what you could do? You could dump Miller and Henry and keep Howard.
Ooh. Howard's staying on the list. Here's the thing. Derrick Henry, I love Derrick Henry, but also I think they like Devin Singletary too much to pay a running back big money. Yes. Regardless of how good that running back is, I think they like Devin Singletary too much to pay Derrick Henry. How much is he going to get?
A lot.
Too much. Yeah. And I think he'd like to stay in Tennessee, and I think Tennessee is going to do whatever they can to keep him in Tannehill. So I'm taking Derrick Henry off the list. Sorry. Again, and this is a free agent big board, so we should just be like, oh, no, they're going to, you know, let's think that they're going to hit the open market. But also,
got to be realistic about it, you know?
And again, you have Devin Singletary. Bring in someone to compliment him, not somebody to supplant him. So are we taking Lamar Miller off the list as well?
Yeah, I think those two and having Jordan Howard is a smart move.
At wide receiver, we have AJ Green, Robbie Anderson, Matthew Slater. Is there anyone we're taking off?
It's not it's not going to happen. I think Matthew Slater's probably going to stay in New England, and New England will want him to stay.
He is.
Okay. As much that was like, I bet you tomorrow we'll hear that he's in Buffalo.
Yeah. At tight end, we have Tyler Eifert and Austin Hooper. We're keeping Austin Hooper on the list. I think we keep both of these guys on the list.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darrell Williams, Brian Bulaga. I think we keep both of them on the list.
Yeah.
Ziggy Ansah, Anuasor, Addison Dupree. All right. So here we go. Here we go. Number 10, Taysom Hill.
Perfect. That's great.
I'm putting Taysom Hill at 10, and you guys can't stop me. Okay? How about
it's
that?
It's your show.
That's right. He's
how
he's
about
power
that?
Man.
Number 10, Taysom Hill. Number 9.
This is where it gets interesting. Jordan Howard.
Darrell Williams?
Ooh, Darrell Williams. Yeah.
Darrell Williams at 9?
I think that makes sense.
I need feedback here, Joe Shane and Dan Morgan.
Yeah.
Or Bulaga, Ansah, Anuasor, Dupree.
See, I think the other guys are more realistic. So that's why I think that.
Then Darrell Williams?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I think Darrell Williams is leaving just because they have a new coach there. Oh, yeah. He has an injury history. I don't think he's sticking around. I'm putting Darrell Williams at 9. If we change
we'll
it, we change
it.
Yeah. If you know, and also it doesn't matter. No one's gonna listen to this. Eight. Do we put Robbie Anderson at 8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler Eifert at 8.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Tyler Eifert.
Ansah at 8. Dupree at 8.
Ansah?
I'm thinking Ansah or Eifert or Anderson.
I think Ansah.
Who out of those who was of least priority? Probably Eifert, just because yeah, just because you don't know what you're getting out of Eifert. And also tight end's not a glaring need.
They're packed at tight end.
So 8, Tyler Eifert. 7, Jordan Howard, Robbie Anderson, Green, Ansah, Addison. All right, I would put 7 Addison, 6 Anderson, 5 Ansah. Oh my God, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Addison, Anderson, Ansah is 7, 6, 5. That's all. That all makes sense. Now we're at number 4.
All right. Well, if we're confirming that, I have to write that down. LB.
I think you can
Mario
swap Ansah and Anderson.
You think Anderson's bigger than
I just in terms of like the amount of money you're gonna have to pay for him between the two of them. You know, Anderson's gonna make more, and you know, a rotational defensive end.
I'm confusing myself. So am I going Ansah at 6, Anderson at 5,
yes,
or vice versa?
Yes.
So here's the names we have remaining. Jordan Howard, A.J. Green, Austin Hooper, Patrick Anuasor, Bud Dupree, Brian Bulaga. I've made a huge mistake.
Uh-oh,
you got too many.
Yeah.
All right, so we're taking off Taysom Hill and Darrell Williams because that's just the nature of the list, right?
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
That's why we put him at the bottom. This is amazing. 10, 9, 8, 7,
I made a
6,
mistake.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so then 6, A.J. Green, Jordan Howard, Hooper, Dupree, and Anuasor. I think we put Dupree at 6. D'Lo?
That's fine. I mean,
okay,
I'm good with anything. Like, right now, I'm having trouble like parsing them, so I think we're good right now.
Dupree, 5. Do we put Green here? I think we put A.J. Green here just because I'd rather draft a wide receiver than sign an old one. Granted, it could be at a good deal, but I think I'd rather draft one than sign A.J. Green.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah.
D'Lo, or do you want him higher?
Who's higher than him?
Well, that's what we'll have. Austin Hooper, Anuasor, Bulaga, Howard.
Honestly, Howard might be up there. Like, just Howard, thinking about...
Howard might end up being number one.
Just the fact that Bills need a running back.
That's the biggest
need. He'd be such a good compliment. And that immediately, that takes running back off the board for the draft. If you're going in with Singletary, Howard, Yeldon, that is done. A complete backup.
Then you can swing at a late round guy who might have some big upside. If you wish.
I'm locking in Jordan Howard at one. All right, guys.
Howard's one.
Perfect.
I can't believe our backup running back is going to be our number one target. I like it.
Well,
it makes sense. It makes sense.
Complimentary back.
Complimentary back.
That makes it sound better. Oh, yeah. All right. So at five, what? Okay. Oh, this is the stupid. At five, I'm going AJ Green. Okay. I'm taking the steering wheel here. Five, AJ Green. Four. This is so hard. Do I even have that many names left? I have three spots. I have Austin Hooper, Anunwasor, Bulaga. All right, so four.
Hooper.
I was gonna go Hooper. Or do we go Anunwasor at four?
I think feeling right, I'm going, Lorenzo. Feeling Lorenzo's hole is something.
Is priority.
Yeah.
All right, so four, we're going Hooper. Tight end, Austin Hooper. Three, Bulaga. Or do you want him at two?
That's fine. I mean, Bulaga's not an absolute, like, top. Well, we have him as a top need, but three's fine.
We have him at three.
Three's fine. Three's fine. Let's bring him in. Let's move forward inside, and let's just do this. I like it. I
love that idea. All right, so here is the final list of, all right, Buffalo Bills, 2020, offseason, free agency, big board. Number 10, tight end Tyler Eifert. He can play alongside Tyler Croft, maybe, unless you cut Tyler Croft. He's good. If you keep him healthy, that'll be a good signing. Number 9, Mario Addison. You know, Carolina connection, come in, be a leader on that defense, and also fill the role. Fill the shoes left by Lorenzo Alexander. Number 8, defensive end Ziggy Ansah. Good pass rusher. If you keep Shaq Lawson, again, I think they're going to bring in a good pass rusher maybe through a trade this year, whether it be Joey Bosa or not, but I do think they're going to bring in an elite pass rusher. It's something Brandon Bean wants. Maybe they'll draft one, but also I do think they would want Ziggy Ansah to come in and be a rotational pass rusher or a secondary pass rusher, I should say. Number 7, wide receiver Robbie Anderson. Even if you draft a guy high, Robbie Anderson is a good guy to have in that receiving core. He claims to be a number one receiver. I don't know if he is, but you give him that chance in Buffalo. Number 6, defensive end Bud Dupree. Had a very good year in Pittsburgh. Granted, it would be a shift in his play style here. He would go from an outside edge rusher to a defensive end. But also, he would be a good signing to have just because maybe he is that elite pass rusher that you're looking for. I don't know if he is, but also, you give him the shot to be. Number 5, AJ Green. Still got something left in the tank. Good player. Could be your number one wide receiver immediately. And probably, given his recent injury history, you're getting him at not a bad contract. Number 4, tight end Austin Hooper. You look at the two teams that were in the Super Bowl this year, they both had elite tight ends. So the Bills, I think, if they can get an elite tight end this year, potentially elite tight end, that would be very beneficial to their offense as a whole. And Austin Hooper would not be a bad signing. And watch, they'll sign Greg Olsen before this, so Austin Hooper being at number 4 will be stupid. But, again, this is assuming they don't sign Greg Olsen, that he goes to Washington. Number 3, right tackle, Brian Bulaga. One of the best right tackles in the game, and he gives you the option to have a better right side of the line and also to move in Cody Ford to probably what is his best position. So that helps you in a multitude of ways, that signing. Number 2, linebacker Patrick Anunwasor. Patrick Dinosaur is a very good, versatile linebacker safety hybrid. He's played linebacker in the NFL, but also he's the type of guy where, I mean, this defense, they like versatile players. He's a Swiss Army knife, and he allows you, again, like Bulaga, he allows you to do more things than just what he offers. He offers one thing, but he allows you to do more with your defense. And number 1, Jordan Howard, the running back. power back. He completes that running back room. You have the shifty, elusive, patient guy in Devin Singletary. You got the put-his-head-down-and-go guy in Jordan Howard. And you got the receiving guy out of the backfield in TJ Yeldon. You got the speed guy in Christian Wade for the preseason. There is, you had to get Christian Wade in there. This is, he completes that backfield and thus will ultimately help you in the passing game because you will have a complete running game. So, guys, how do you like the list?
I think we're pretty good heading in. I mean, it's obviously, we're probably going to see some changes over the next month, especially when we see, like, the combine. All of a sudden, the combine lane changes everybody's mind about stuff. Even if it doesn't necessarily move the needle with Brandon Bean, I think there will be some movement from the outside world. So, yeah, go Bills.
Remember when I used to say, no, can't say go Bills. No, I don't care. I'm just like, yeah, go for it. Okay, I think we're done. I think an hour and a half. This is the longest podcast we've ever had by long shot, boys.
Nice work.
Maybe we'll supplant it next week with a mock draft. Maybe we'll do a mock draft next week. I don't know. Maybe I'll not be lazy and think of a better topic. But I'd like to thank you guys for joining me to do this just insanely long podcast. I got a lot of homework to get going. I might have to book an emergency flight to Denver. If that's another story. I might have a huge story next week on this podcast.
Oh, no.
Just because there's some crazy stuff going on right now. So, yeah, maybe next week I'll be fresh back from Denver, Colorado.
Ooh.
So we'll see. We'll see next week. Probably not, though. Also... Yeah, nothing else. Make sure to follow BillsWire on Twitter, at TheBillsWire, on Facebook, at BillsWire, on Instagram, at TheBillsWire, I think. I don't know. Make sure to follow McKenna on Twitter.
McKenna Middle.
Make sure to follow D'Lo on Twitter, at
Jay DeLauro.
And you can't follow me. I'm not letting you. Also, I think that I keep saying also, but I don't have anything else to add. So thank you guys for listening. If you did listen to this hour and 32 minute extravaganza of a podcast where we talk about the XFL and also who the Bills should sign in the offseason. So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.